What up, Tippendales? It's Saturday, which means this is the bonus episode where we get to talk to our guest tipper of the month. Our April guest tipper is none other than screen and stage actor Josh Rivera, currently appearing in the Rocky Horror Picture Show on Broadway, but you might know him from Spielberg's West Side Story. You might know him from The American Sports Story, which is actually where I first knew him because I'm a Patriots fan and I watched the hell out of that. Josh, welcome back to the pod. Thank you for joining us so much. Would you please just like introduce yourself to the Tippendales real quick? However you feel like you describe yourself, either in the acting professional sense or just like the vibes of life sense.
Yeah. Well, my name's Josh. I'm an actor. I'm a singer. I'm finally getting to sing for the first time in many years, which I think a lot of people didn't know. That is how I started. Was the whole reason I got into acting, it was kind of just like the end of a very long journey of me initially starting wanting to be a music producer.
Oh.
When I was really little, my whole family sings. I mean, we all just like really like music.
Where
in the house.
From?
It was always on. Parents are Puerto Rican. I was born in North Carolina, and then I moved with my mom to Connecticut and then Colorado. All my formative years happened in Colorado, and then I went to college in New York. So I went to Ithaca for theater school. But before that happened, I was kind of a late bloomer performing-wise. I got into choir first, and then actually, I was thinking about this the other day. I didn't sign up for choir because I was doing a lot of sports, too. I played a lot of football, I wrestled, I did track, and choir had a lot of like extracurricular commitments, and I think that I also like had this assumption, I think because of like media, that like choir was lame.
And yeah, dude.
It wasn't what I was supposed to be doing if I wanted to be cool. So I didn't sign up for choir my sophomore year, but my choir teacher put me in choir anyways. So I had to go. I had to go, or else I would get like a slip. I'd get in trouble if I didn't show up. So I showed up and I was like, I didn't sign up for choir. And she said, yeah, but you're doing choir.
What's that human's name? Shout out to this human.
Janice.
Shout out to Janice. You nailed it.
She's the best. And that ended up being the first year that I did like solo performances for people. And I got some solos in choir. And I got really into performing on stage. And then the following year, I ended up quitting football. And I joined the school musical. It was Les Mis that year. That was the... I say that was the first musical I did. I did Annie in fifth grade.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I was Rooster Hannigan.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So I guess that was my big, deep dive. But the first musical I did as a sentient person, I think, was Les Mis. Yeah, so I got really into that. I had terrible grades. And the only reason why that matters is because I was applying to schools, and the only schools that gave me money, scholarship money, were performing arts. So that ended up making the decision a lot easier for me. And then it also was good incentive for my mom, you know, was like, well, yeah, I mean, they gave you money. Like, you should go. So I ended up going to Ithaca for musical theater. And that was just like, I kind of always assumed that my end game was like being like a... like usher, like singer, dancer, pop star kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I really wanted. But then I just started doing more straight acting while I was in school. I realized I really liked acting. And a lot of the... My voice isn't... I don't want to get down on myself. I think I have a harder time singing show tunes just because my voice has like a little bit of rasp. Like I grew up singing like rock and R&B and stuff like that. So there wasn't a lot of show tunes that like really drew me in. So that also was kind of why I mostly acted anyways. And that's what's really nice about being part of Rocky is like, that's a rock show. It feels like a rock show when we're doing it, which is a lot of fun. So anyways, yeah, I got an agent out of college, fortunately, and she managed to get me an audition for Hamilton. And then, that was the first national tour. So I joined that as an offstage standby. I covered three roles. I covered the Sons of Liberty. So for those who don't know, that's Lawrence, Philip, Lafayette, Jefferson, Mulligan, Madison, those tracks. And I did that for 2 years. And then they were doing auditions for West Side Story. I auditioned for that while I was on tour. I didn't hear about it for like 7 months, so I kind of completely forgot. And then like 7 months later, I auditioned for Bernardo initially, and then 7 months later they were like, "Do you want to come for Chino?" And I was like, "I sure." And then they just had me do the Bernardo sides for Chino, which I thought was funny
That
because I
is
was like
funny.
sort of polar opposite energies there. I don't know what the joke that I always make is like, I did it, and they were like, "Yeah, this guy's Chino," which I'm like, D I wonder if Steven just watched that tape and was like, "Yeah, no, this kid's a dweeb. This kid's a nerd. You can't hide it from me. This
He's
kid's a
working so hard to be cool, and
nerd."
he is not.
So whatever that decision making was, I'm not complaining about it. That was my first film I ever did, which was
That's
insane.
a
It was
bonkers
like,
first film.
it was so terrifying. Like, not the experience itself, but like the idea of it to me felt so colossal, and like I don't know. It was difficult for me to fathom that it was happening. But then a lot of the people on set, it was their first movie too, so it kind of made it. I was in good company, I think. And that was a super educational experience. And yeah, something funny happened after that, where that was in 2019 that came out. I think we filmed in yeah we filmed early. No, it came out in like 2021, but we
Yeah, you
filmed it in
filmed in
2019.
2019.
What I will say is, I remember finishing that movie and being like, "I made it. I'm Hollywood now, baby. I did it. Smooth sailing from here on out." And for those of you who don't know, the acting industry doesn't really work that way, but I
No.
didn't know that at the time. So I was spending money like I was already rich, and then I ran out. And I had to start bar backing because I didn't have any experience in the service industry, so I had to start at the bottom.
That's very humbling. Yo, I just
It was.
starred in the Steven Spielberg masterpiece, West Side Story.
It
Cool,
was
grab this dump
very,
bucket.
it was very interesting, because it premiered while I was working at that bar. Shout out to American Whiskey.
Oh, I like that bar.
Yeah, it's great.
It's
It's a
good.
nice
It's a good
place.
bar.
Everybody was good work environment. Everybody was super nice. It did feel too like as far as like my personhood goes, like my spirit, it felt like I was getting. In hindsight, it's easy to think that. I mean, at the time, I was like not feeling amazing about it, but in hindsight, I'm like, I think that was a really important thing in my life. I really do think that if that didn't happen, I would be such a insufferable person, I think. But I think it was a necessary humbling that happened. It was funny. I was really getting into the red zone money-wise, and I was like, man, you know what? Like, I did my best. I did a Spielberg movie. Like, that's way more than I expected would ever happen. Like, but I think I reached the end of the road. I think I got to call it. And I was going to go just move back to Colorado and learn how to program something like that. A lot of my friends were pivoting to tech, and it seems like they're making good money. And then about 2 weeks before I was meant to move, I auditioned for Hunger Games: Bout of Songbirds and Snakes. And it was funny. I think that I hadn't read the book, and I think that helped me out a lot
Sure.
because apparently the character Sejanus, I think a lot of the reads they were getting were like very like meek and like I mean, I don't want to down anybody who auditioned, but I think that it was like a different kind of approach that I didn't take because I didn't know any better.
Sure.
Because it was funny, I remember like reading the book after I booked the movie and being like, "I'm glad I didn't read this, because if I did read it, I would have approached the character completely differently." Yeah, so then I went over to Germany. While I was in Germany, I met Nina Jacobson, who's a producer who also did American Sports Story, and then that's kind of how that ended up happening. I auditioned for that shortly after we finished filming, and then I ended up booking that. Yada yada yada, actor strike, Baldur's Gate 3.
Baldur's Gate 3, which we'll come back to.
And yeah, I wasn't in Baldur's Gate 3,
That's
just for
true.
clarity.
For
I just
clarity,
got really
we play Baldur's Gate 3.
I just played a lot of Baldur's Gate 3 during the actor strike. I platinumed it on my PS5 and
Wow.
got all the trophies. Oh, I did
Whoa,
everything in that game.
that's bold.
I did everything. And then it's funny. I'm really happy that I'm doing the show now, but last year was very slow. I think that like the remnants of the actors' strike, it's sort of still getting to a place. The industry's in an interesting spot right now. And that's not even speaking to like the AI of it all, but on a lighter note, it gave me the excuse to come back into theater, which I don't know if Sam knew this, the director of Rocky, but I'm obsessed with that movie. Like, that's been one of my favorite movies for a very long time. Like, I'm really, really, really into that movie. So as soon as I got the email with the subject line, Rocky Horror Broadway, I just responded, "Holy shit," which is unprofessional,
Who
but I
cares?
was very, very geeked out about it. Man, I really fought for that thing. I was like, as soon as I even got the audition request, I stopped eating carbs. I was very motivated, and I found out that I got it, I think the day after Thanksgiving.
Sure.
So I remember being like really stuffed. Being an adult on holiday is so funny because it's like obviously it's really nice to see family and take a break, but it's like now getting home from holidays, I'm like, my blood is made of oil and I want a vegetable so bad. I just want a salad. Like, it's funny how that kind of shifts in adulthood. Like, I can't look at beer or chicken. I can't do it. I will say,
Yeah.
last year, in order to keep myself from going crazy, because I just had a lot of downtime, I picked up a ton of hobbies.
Sick.
So I got into drums. I'm learning how to drum right
I
now.
was gonna ask you about the book behind your head, so
Yeah,
thank you for bringing it up.
syncopation for the modern drummer. I'm like 3, 4 months into it. I started last like I maybe November or September. But yeah, my drum teacher's name is Ruby. She's great.
Shout out to
She's
Ruby. We've got
Ruby's the
Janice, we've got
best.
Ruby, music teachers. Let's go.
And then what else? I learned how to knit. Wait, let me see if I have it
Learned
laying
how to
around here.
knit. The Renaissance, man.
I made a blanket.
Yo!
It doesn't look great, but it's mine and
No,
I
that's
made it.
sick.
Look at this.
That's sick.
Covers took me like 3 months, dude.
Yeah, dude.
This thing.
Oh, we're
Yeah.
wrapped up and cozy. All right. We're going to dive through a few of the things we just talked about here. And we're
Let's
going to
do it.
go back to Colorado High School, right? We're playing football. We're doing chorus, choir. We're not getting good grades. Sidebar, have you yet watched The Rise and Fall of Reggie Dinkins on NBC? It's the new Tracy
No.
Morgan Daniel Radcliffe TV show. It is my favorite show on television. I am telling everybody to watch it. It's the funniest thing I've seen in years. Chippendales, go check out The Rise and Fall of Reggie Dinkins. It's so good. But anyway, what you just described with football or choir is quite literally the plot of the most recent episode for Tracy Morgan's son. And
Very nice.
I want to know, what was the moment in your brain where you made the flip? Why did you decide that it had to be either or rather than, both?
It's really romantic and spectacular to say I quit football for the musical because I couldn't do both, but I could do both. I just realized I kind of didn't want to do football
Yeah.
anymore. Because, like, both require a lot of extracurricular time, and football is just I knew that I was getting the feeling, like, going into my junior senior year, I was like, I don't think I'm gonna go to college and play, or at least, like, I was okay at football, but I wasn't. The people who are serious about it were like, man, they had it, like, 75 to 100 pounds on me,
Yeah.
and they were just as fast, if not faster. Like, there were some intense guys there. And props to them. I think when I was a freshman, this guy Kenny Bell was our running back. I think he ended up playing for the Baltimore Ravens for a little while. I don't know if he still is, but like, it was a good program, one that I couldn't step up to what they were asking for. You want you I used to be a I was a bit chubbier when I was younger, And I remember joining football and I could see my abs for the first time and I was really excited. And then my coach, because I was a lineman and I was a defensive linebacker, and my coach was like, "You're way too light. We need you to be eating. You need to gain more weight." And I was like, "I quit."
Vanity won out immediately.
So, I think in some ways it was preordained. I think that eventually I was going to be a performer with that kind of mindset. But I think that a couple things happened. Among those being, I was realizing how much I enjoyed being part of a company, like being part of a cast. I got like a taste of that because we did this thing called Pop Show at our school. It was like a talent show, but it was mostly musical numbers. And a lot of it was like pop songs, and there was like themes, and everybody auditioned their act, and we made a show out of it. And that was my first time I ever performed. Some of my buddies, the guys that I'm doing a D&D campaign with, they're all musicians. We all went to the same high school. And that's how we all connected, was because they needed a singer for an act that they wanted to do for Pop Show. And then they asked me if I wanted to do it. So we did Your Song by Elton John.
Sick.
It was my first time performing in front of an audience, like myself with like a band behind me. And I got so addicted to that. And then after that, I decided I wanted to try for the musical, and that's how that ended up happening. So I think there were like multiple circumstances that like aligned in just the right way. Like Janice made me do choir. And then I did this pop show thing. And then a bunch of pretty ladies told me they liked my voice. And I was like, you know what? There's something.
There's something to this performance
There's
thing.
something to this thing. No, I mean, in a much less vain way, I did really enjoy it. It was helpful to my expression of myself, you know? It was a different kind of avenue that I think I hadn't experienced before in terms of like, spiritually, like being expressive, I guess.
Did you ever feel like you wanted to go back? Like you ever like made the wrong choice?
Yeah, all the
How do you
time.
deal with that thought?
I think that that's just like a normal human thought that everybody has about anything. I know that no matter what I do, because I think about this with things that don't have to do with my career, of just like I could have always done something different or something better or something worse, or I don't know. I'm trying to come around to just like life is just life and it happens to all of us, and like we have free will and should use it, and you have the capacity to be a goofball and optimistic, or I won't say, I'll speak for myself. I have the capacity to be optimistic and a goofball if I want to. As much as I want to be like, oh man, if only I did biology, or if only I did like, if only I studied more and got better grades and was better at math, and then I could have been like a finance person. Like, yeah, my life would probably be a little bit more comfortable and consistent, but I'm having a really good time. I'm having a good time right now. That's the thing. I'm having a good time. I'm expressing myself. I'm meeting some of the most interesting people I've ever met. Like, I'm learning so much from the communities around me that I've been able to like be blessed to be in contact with. Like, that's I think how I come back from that train of thought, I guess, is the answer. Like I cannot imagine the kind of person I'd be if I hadn't met some of the beautiful people that I know today.
I like that. When did you begin the nerd process? Was D&D a high school thing? Is it a thing you found
I've been a
later?
nerd since I was a baby, dude. I
What kind of
was
nerd do you identify as? Like, what's your inroad?
first I was a Star Wars nerd.
Great.
And then I was when I was very young, that's not true. First I was a Mario nerd. We had a Super Nintendo in our house and I
Sick.
got really good at all the old Mario games.
Sick.
And then I was a big Legend of Zelda nerd, and
Which
then I
one?
was a
What's your
Final
Zelda?
Fantasy. Ocarina was my first, but now in hindsight, I have the most admiration for the artistic direction of Majora's
I could
Mask,
kiss you on the
and I
mouth.
think
That's
pound
the
for
right
pound,
answer.
I think story-wise, I think Wind Waker takes it for me. I think Wind Waker has the best story.
Ocarina's the perfect game, but I do believe that Majora's Mask and Wind Waker are more exciting artistically.
Yeah.
But like Ocarina's perfect game.
Ocarina's for everyone.
Yeah.
I think it's the Into the Woods, if
we're in the Sondheim math.
Yes, that's a really good comparison. And then, so first it was like video games. And me and my family always played board games too, so it makes sense that I got really into D&D later on.
Are you still a board gamer to this day?
I love board games. That's like my dream night out is a night in, to be honest. Mm. Like
clip that.
Clip that chat. This is crazy.
It's crazy.
I love this is my favorite. Just getting like six or seven folks. Everybody comes over, like we all
bring a six pack, it's way cheaper than having a beer at a bar.
That's right. Instead of spending $80 in an Uber ride home, we get to all just get just the right amount of sauce and like do bits and play board games.
Yeah, it's the best.
Like that's my favorite. I think I became a nerd in a lot of different areas. Probably it had something to do with like searching for an identity to like cling on to. Because I think because I moved around so much, like I didn't have a group of friends for a very long time. Mm. That was up until like these folks that I still play games with now have been my friends since high school. But before that, I think I was just looking for anything. And my avenue of that was like big, just nerd culture. I loved it.
Were you loud and proud about it, or were you a hide it in the shadows?
I was, no, I was pretty loud and proud about it, much to my own chagrin, just because I can think of several different moments of like my loud and proudness that keep me up at night a little bit. You ever have those? You ever remember something you said or did and was just like, ooh. Yeah. So I got plenty. I've been a nerd for a long time.
Well, and so then you come out of high school, nerd in high school. I was curious about that. You end up at Ithaca. Shout out to the Bombers.
Let's go.
Well, let's go. Good 4 years. Did you find the transition into college, like high intensity performing arts school, an easy transition? Did like the sports background help? Did it harm? Like, where did you find yourself in that 4 years? Very like fish out of water, or very like jump in 2 feet?
I did feel like a fish out of water, because a lot of the people there, they went to a lot of the same like camps, and like there was like, I mean, the theater community and like Jersey is so huge, and there was a lot of people who like did a lot of the same
Frenchwood
rep and theaters and yeah, stuff
door,
like that.
Yeah,
Stage Door, I think, was the big one. And I didn't do any of that. I just did a couple musicals in high school and was like, this is fun. So I felt like there was I don't know the word exactly. It's not quite etiquette. There was like a personality type that everybody shared that I felt left out of a little bit for a while. I ended up getting really chummy with a lot of people in the acting major, just because like I didn't know a lot about musicals and like show tunes and composers and the history of Broadway. Like, and I hadn't seen a Broadway show. I had only been to New York for unified auditions.
Sure.
Like, I really didn't have a lot of experience with it. So there were definitely a lot of moments where I was like, oh my gosh, I might be way in over my head. Like, but you know, what's funny is in hindsight, I think feeling that way probably helped me out a lot in the pursuit of exploring myself and like figuring out how to express things. I think like the most unique people with the right attitude make the best performers. You know, like having an emotional well and like self-awareness to draw off of is so huge. And I do feel like my life being so all over the place has served me a lot.
How do you keep the pieces pulled together? Like, how do you not drift off too far into one and lose some of the others or whatever? Like, how do you kind of keep it on the same path?
Barely, I guess, is the answer. I don't know. I'm just growing all the time. I'm just letting myself be whoever I feel like I am that day. I don't know that I ever intentionally. I used to journal a lot. I actually need to start journaling again because I went back and read one of my journals that I kept. I had this big fat one that was like over the span of like 10 years. And I feel like I wonder if you feel this way too. I have the tendency to underestimate my past self a lot. Like, I think no matter what, every year I think of me from the year before and I'm like, oh, you were
That
just a boy.
idiot.
You didn't know a thing. And then I'm going back and I'm reading my journal and I'm like, man, that's some pretty good advice I'm giving myself, right? Like, that
You
sounds
remember any
pretty
of it? Do you
interesting.
have any that you remember like pulling up and being like, I that was good?
Oh, not off the top of my
That's
head.
fine.
It's mainly just like self-awareness that I did not realize I had at the time. Like I'm talking about like entries from when I was like 17 or 18 years old, where I'm like, oh, I imagine that the future will be this way. And like in a lot of ways I'm wrong, but there's like a few things where I'm like, huh, well, you really called that. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that is a pretty good way of keeping the pieces together in terms of just like maintaining inventory of who I am. But I don't know. I also have a tendency to over intellectualize my own personality,
Sure.
which I think can. I have OCD. I found this out like a couple years ago, which is like, it's good to know, but it's also like, up until you find out the thing that you have. It's like before that happens, before a diagnosis, it's just like I'm just quirky and fun. And then it's like, no, medically, you have an issue, actually.
That's such a good way of thinking about it.
I remember they told me I had OCD and I didn't believe them because I was like, but I'm so messy. And they're like, that's not what that is. It is like in function, basically, your brain has a really hard time escaping trains of thought.
Totally.
Like it's some kind of electricity thing. I don't know the science behind it exactly, but it manifests in a lot of different ways for a lot of different people. And mine was just like, I thought I was gonna die all the time. It was a pretty interesting period of time. This happened while I was filming Hunger Games. Like, I went to go see a bunch of doctors because I was like convinced that I had all of these diseases. It was very strange. It kind of came out of nowhere. And OCD is funny because I remember going to these doctors and they were like, nothing is wrong with you. Like, you're fine. And I'd be like, you're wrong. That's not true, actually. You're lying to me. I am the youngest person ever to get this disease. And that's what's happening. And it was crazy. I would find ways to convince myself of all of this stuff. And it was like a terrifying saga of maybe like 8 months. And then I took Zoloft for 2 days, and then it just completely went away. And I was like, "Ah, yeah, I got OCD." I don't all of that to say, I need to be cognizant about over intellectualizing like pieces of myself, just because that's, I think where my brain goes, unfortunately.
So you come out of college, you get yourself an agent, you go off on the Hamilton tour. Now, in the world of theater, like you kind of nailed it, right? Like rocking a tour right out of school is a great gig,
Oh,
but
yeah.
like in the stereotype of it all, like you walked in as an offstage cover, right? Like you were bottom of the barrel in the Hamilton rung, right? Like as we think about the hierarchy of a show, like how was the experience of knowing that many roles, tracking that many shows, like doing a thing that is not necessarily trained in college, right? Like that's a skill set that is entirely learned on the fly when you're in that position. What is the juxtaposition for you of like Hamilton tour offstage cover going on for various shows to like Chino West Side Story, where like lightning strikes out of nowhere? Like how did that, how did you handle that 2.5 year trajectory of the acting
Think
career?
there's a lot of different answers to that, but a really specific thing that comes to my mind right away is like it is a skill set. Being a swing or being a standby is a
Crazy.
skill set. When I first started working, I didn't know how I was gonna do it, and I had a silent little secret breakdown to myself like during rehearsal in a bathroom one day because I was like, I don't know how I'm going to learn all of this stuff. But I don't know. I think every time I went on for a role, like the anxiety of doing that just really sears the track into your brain. Like you only need to mess up once to never mess up again because at least that's the way that my brain works. I'm so motivated by not embarrassing myself that like I ended up doing okay. But going from that, it is a specific kind of job. I remember the thing that surprised me about going into the film was how much agency I had over the character. 'Cause
Sure.
there's only so much that you can do as a swing and standby. It's very important to put your own personality into things and to bring your identity into the role, no matter what role you're doing, and no matter for how briefly or how long. But you are more or less confined by the blocking of whoever is doing the role and what other people around you expect you to do, because you don't want to mess up everybody else's track, so you have to be cognizant of that. And the thing that really surprised me is like for West Side, I was expected to create a character, which I think that I was ready for me. I was ready to be told what the character was,
Totally.
but instead I was being asked what the character was for the first time. I had that kind of agency. And that was really frightening. It became liberating, but initially it was really frightening because I hadn't really done that before, especially not on such a high scale.
Sure.
So I think that was like the big difference. And it took me a long time to shake my imposter syndrome around that, but I guess that's why I call it like one of my most educational experiences, is because it was like, oh, not only do I not have to do what's always been done, I actually really shouldn't. It actually serves the movie a lot better if I just make it my own and like play off of everybody else who's doing exactly the same thing and making this their own. Like it's a new relationship that I have to build with my character and this character, regardless of any other previous adaptation.
I'm gonna ask you a rapid fire twofer. Number one, top two tips you found, like tricks to being able to succeed as a cover swing, right, standby. Like what were your keep it in line tricks that you
There was
found?
a really good team of swings and standbys in that show, and we were lucky that we had like the rehearsal space where like during every show we would just do the show as the show was going on, because they have a speaker in the theater so you can hear everything that's happening, and we would just like do the blocking, like a mini version of the blocking, like in our dressing room, and like we would like pretend that the turntable was turning and like all of this stuff. And we would do that just about maybe like two or three times a week up until we all got pretty cozy with it, which took a couple months. And I would say a tip that I now have being a little older is like, obviously, initially you have to have that diligence. Initially, you have to like you have a job to do and you have to take that job seriously. It's not school. It's not something that you learn in school. Like it's a lot of it is like you just got to do it. You have to like learn it as fast as you can. 'Cause I ended up having to go on for the first time. Somebody had someone in their family pass, unfortunately, really early on in previews, and I had to go on. I think it was like the second week, and I don't know if this is necessarily a tip as much as it's just like a little nugget of advice, but like you are saving the show. It's like if you make a mistake, it's fine. It's
That's a
not a
good
big deal.
tip.
I think that I had like I had this idea that if I did anything wrong, fired. I didn't do my job correctly, I'm gone. But it's like everybody knows, you haven't done it before, like, and you haven't rehearsed it with everybody before. You get a put in, but like that's about it. And like if you mess up, it's fine. Just don't make a big deal out of it, but just keep going. That's the cool thing about theater is like, no matter what happens, you just gotta keep going.
Can I ask you a question then? There's a version of this industry where someone goes from BFA in musical theater to national tour to a Spielberg film to Hunger Games to starring in a Ryan Murphy show to their Broadway debut and like completely loses the plot of who they are because they're now just in the like entertainment industry grind on the upward trajectory. Like, how do you stay grounded to you in that path? Right? Like, how did you hold on to you through like what is truly a baptism by fire that early in your career, frankly?
I give all credit to people around me. I think I'm really susceptible to energy from others. Because of that, I think initially I'm quite shy. It takes me a bit of time to open up to people because like I just am I'm just receptive to the energies that are around me. And all that to say, I give a lot of credit to the people around me. I think I've just been surrounded by really kind people and people who believed in me. And also, all of my really good friends, I still keep in touch with them. And every Sunday, I play D&D with my buddies from high school. I mean, I think that's the biggest one. I think for about like 5 or 6 years now, every Sunday we all check in and get together and play D&D. Or if one of us can't make it, then we all just play a video game online. And like, that's how we catch up. We just chat about the week. And it's really, really nice and grounding because it's just like, these are just like the dudes that we know everything about each other. And everything doesn't feel so serious. I think, especially because they're all so removed from the whole thing that like, you know, they obviously care about the things that I do, but they're not in it like that. I don't think they are. Sometimes I get neurotic about perception and how I'm perceived online and stuff like that, you know, because I don't have a lot of agency over that all the time. People can think whatever they want about me. I have no control about that, but I still care about it. And they help me care about it a little bit less because they don't care. So, you know, I think that's really helpful. That definitely keeps me grounded.
Holding on to people's heart. Do you have any tips and tricks for like holding on to people from your past?
A game. You got to do a game. You got to schedule a game. If you say, oh, let's have a call. Call is good. You can catch up on a call, but it's not a game. A game is a game, and that's fun. Everybody likes a game. You got to have a game. I really think that's like that's what it is. I don't know. Just it's playtime.
Then now your final tip as we wrap up Josh Rivera, the five games people should consider as they try to give a reconnection group in their life. What are the games that you would recommend right now?
All right. Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, hell
off
yeah.
The bat.
Hey, Hasbro, Encounter Party still exists and we're shouting out Dungeons and Dragons on the pod.
Boom, boom, boom. And so I just pulled up my Steam.
Sick.
We like to do my friend Sebastian's funny. He's just like, sometimes he's like, do you want to go to the garbage bin today? And what that means is we search the $2 or less.
Sick.
On Steam.
Sick.
Baldur's Gate, that's a good one. But it's also kind of D&D, but still. Human Fall Flat.
Ooh, I don't know this one.
Oh, it's like a physics-based game where the controls are intentionally very clunky. I don't know. It's sort of hard to explain. It's like you play as like these really oafish clay looking creatures, and you have to like the left mouse is your left arm and the right mouse is your right arm, and basically you control both, and you have to like climb stuff and scale. Oh, which reminds me, Peak. It's another one.
Great
climbing game. And recently we started playing Burglin Gnomes. Have you heard of that?
That's three games I've never heard of.
You play as a bunch of little gnomes and you got to break into an old guy's house and steal a bunch of his stuff without getting caught.
Sick.
It's really silly.
Sick.
Just for the memes. Oh, Red Dead Online too.
I'm currently replaying Red Dead right now.
Red Dead is great. But Red Dead Online, it's just Cowboy Simulator.
Yeah.
You just role play cowboys.
Do you wear that
Southern
shirt?
Accents. Why not? Oh, I should.
Yeah.
Well, it's about that time. About to get on my horse here.
I'm going to add one more to your list. It is technically a board game. You can play it. You could buy it. You could do it here. But if you're playing with your friends at home, you should pick up the Steam port of Gloomhaven. It's awesome.
Good to know.
It's really
Helldivers good. Is another good one.
Mm.
Sorry, now I'm just
now we're just naming cool stuff.
That, yeah.
Josh, before we go, I'm going to ask you to just like tell the people again where they might be able to find you and also like give yourself a little Rocky Horror plug.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to be doing 8 shows a week at Studio 54, historic Studio 54. We got the original disco ball up in the theater.
That's
and everything.
Cool.
It's everything is decked out. I saw like the lobby and area for the first time because it was under construction for a bit as they transitioned. I think Oedipus was there before us. And yeah, they really tricked it out with a bunch of just like B sci-fi memorabilia. It's very, very cool. So yeah, 8 shows a week, Studio 54, Rocky Horror Show. I will be in a nude colored wrestling singlet made of mesh and a big old blonde wig and a lot of makeup, more makeup than I know what to do with. I don't know if you can tell, but no, you can't really see, but I have so much residual glitter on my body. Glitter is just going to be a core part of my life, I think, for the foreseeable future, and I've accepted that. So yeah, and then I don't know, you can find me on, I'm not very good at posting, but you can find me on Instagram, Josh Andres Rivera. And yeah, I don't know, come see the show. It's so much fun.
Go see the show.
We started, I don't know when this is going up, but we started previews just recently. We open April 23rd officially.
This interview will go up on Saturday the 4th of April.
Very nice. So by then, yeah, so April 23rd, but we're doing previews right now, so you can still come see the previews.
Come see the previews. Tippendales, if you go see the show, say hey to Josh for us. Tell him.
Say hey. I stage door every day. Sick. Come say hi.
Come say hey. Tell him that you found him from Daily Tips that may or may not help you. Identify yourself as a Tippendale. Please. Josh, I actually have one more question that I thought of while you were just saying that. You say every Sunday you meet up with your high school friends to play a game.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday is very famously a Broadway day. Are you going to move it to Mondays off?
Well, everybody else has regular work weeks, so you know what I do is I pretend to be a little gnome guy, and I'm doing silly little voices while I'm in the makeup chair putting my makeup on. It's just so I warned the people helping me with my wig and makeup. I said, hey, I want you to know tomorrow's Sunday D&D day, and I'm going to be coming in, and I'm going to be talking in fantasy lingo. And I believe right now I am a druid gnome, and I'm trying to incite a rebellion against the human race with a little kingdom of animals. And I stole spit from a rabid animal so that I could infect a group of humans with rabies to start my rebellion. So that's where we're at right now. The makeup artist did overhear me talking about stealing spit for a good like 20 minutes, plotting how to steal spit from an animal. It's fun. And so no, I'm not moving the day is the answer to that question.
That is the best answer I could possibly ask for. Josh Rivera, thank you for joining us on Daily Tips That May or May Not Help You. Tippendales, you will hear Josh every Wednesday this month with a tip of the day. And Josh, we hope you have a wonderful run. We thank you for joining us, and we can't wait to see you on Wednesday with your second tip in the month of April here on Daily Tips That May or
Stay Tuned
Help You. Yes, stay tuned and stay golden, Pony Boy.
Yeah. Wrong show, but you got the spirit. Don't dream it, be it, guys. That's my last tip.
That's the fade out that we'll play. I'll also put all of this in the fade out. It's just going to be a long tail. Sick.
Just a big fade out.
From lashes for days with the Viral Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara to awakening your eyes with lift and color from the Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is the go-to when you want to amplify your everyday look. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients that work with your skin. And for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetics product, you're helping communities you care about, too. Amplify your everyday. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/shine26 for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/shine26.